Hello, this is Lex, and welcome to the Next Step Remote podcast, where I have the pleasure to interview some of the best remote work experts from all over the world. In each episode, we cover a topic, success story, or challenge to help you make remote work work. Enjoy. Depending where you are in the world, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Today's guest is Ghislaine Chan from Brilliant and Human, and we will be talking about the difference between remote and working from home. Ghislaine is also one of the founders of the Next Step Group, this podcast is part of. Ghislaine, great to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be on.
Can you tell us a bit more about you? Can you do a bit of intro? What does Brilliant and Human do? But some of the listeners might not. So if you could give us a bit more information, that'll be fantastic.
So I basically help people work better together. And I generally work with small businesses that are growing. So I help scale and grow businesses. So that's me. Brilliant and Human. We go into businesses and look at the main parts of it, which is the technology, the people, and the customers. And we go in with a really human perspective and look at how people work together, what people need, and how best to provide value to the people that you've got in play. So we try and get those three elements to work better together. And ultimately, we want people to be working and empowered and enjoy what they do and just be excellent. And so a lot of that is just converting some of the sort of technology and the digital into more human approaches to work.
Great. And where in the world are you at the moment?
I'm in Reading in the UK, which is just a bit west of London. And it's a lovely sunny afternoon where I am, so all good.
Fantastic. I'm just a short 100 and odd miles away from you, north, based in Birmingham, also in the UK. So it's both good afternoon for us. But I know we've got people listening to the show from all different types of time zones. Another question. How long have you been working remotely? Are your teams remotely focused in terms of the teams that you work with? Or were they before everything that we're going through now office or on-site based?
So I've been working remotely for 16 plus years. And so I've worked globally and actually the majority of my experience has been global organizations. I've worked remotely with everyone in an office. I've worked from home a lot. And a bit of a mix in between. I have done some co-working. So I've been doing this for a very long time and I've built teams remotely and I love it because it's a flexibility. For me, it's all about flexibility and doing what works for the people that are in your teams. As I say, if you can solve the problems for your teams, they will work brilliantly. And so I think the main thing for me is it's not that there's one right or wrong way. It's just it's the right or wrong way for you. And also to accommodate the different styles of working, which is really important.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the reasons we've got you on today is trying to differentiate between working from home and remote working. Mm-hmm. With COVID-19 and everything that's been going on. By the way, if you're listening to the show 50 years from now, in 2020, 2020 was the year that didn't go according to anyone's plan, but happened to be pivotal when it came to remote work. And just kind of a bit of a footnote for those listening in the future. But when this all started a couple of months ago, Time magazine said that the coronavirus outbreak has become the world's largest work from home exercise. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Because I think it doesn't matter how you work. Most people, certainly government recommendations were, if you can remote work, then remote work. And their kind of catch-all was that means working from home. So unless you really, obviously key workers and everything, unless you really couldn't do what you needed to do outside of your home, everyone got locked in with the people that they lived with. And so that has a slightly different challenge in my mind to remote working, because I think there's three distinct areas to that. My main one is you've got an office that you work in, same company, but you're obviously working with teams remotely. You may not work in the same office, or you may have a co-working space or something, or you choose to go and work in a community area that may not have people you work with. And then there's a final one, which is you're working in your own space, whether it's a shared, an office, but you are basically, your commute is across a house or across a flat. So I think there's those three distinctions, really.
Thank you. That's kind of going to be my next question, is how do we differentiate between the two? Because what I found is that a lot of companies have all of a sudden gone remote, as a lot of people say. But what I found is that they pretty much just swapped their physical meeting rooms for virtual meeting rooms. And actually, they haven't changed anything in between in terms of their processes, or haven't adapted in any way. For me, that's not exactly remote working, because we've been in the UK, we've been in lockdown for 6 or 7 weeks now, and companies are starting to show kind of Zoom fatigue and things like that, and you know, people are starting to show signs of struggle as well in terms of the new time ways of working. And for me, that's an indicator that the processes and approaches weren't adapted correctly to what the strategy is. And that's not remote working. That's more work from home. You're basically taking your laptop, you're going home and logging in Zoom and just continue pretty much as you were. Partially, would you agree that it's to do with companies thinking that that they just kind of were holding their breath, waiting for this to blow over, and so they can go back to the norm, to whatever the normal is?
I really hope not. I think we have an opportunity, and I think with Next Step, that was one of our very specific elements, was we don't want people to kind of do this badly and then go, right, this didn't work, and let's all kind of traipse back into the office. I think that's a really key thing, is we want this to succeed, mainly because of the flexibility, I think. And there's so many other reasons why this experiment could work really well. I think the main thing is you cannot translate in-person working, stick a camera, stick a microphone, and make everything the same. There is a lot, but often with remote working, the stuff and the processes you have for remote working work really well in person. And so I think you can translate one way, but not necessarily the other. And I think, yes, there was a very emergency kind of led situation. Most lockdowns happened within a very short space of time. People didn't have time to prepare. A lot of companies didn't facilitate it very easily. Maybe people didn't have laptops and all of those things. So I think there's a kind of an emergency, and then there's like that breathing out. One of the things I notice, and I think is the same, is the problems that businesses have are the same whether you're remote working or you're in-person working. Lack of planning, lack of simple processes, lack of really defining what work is, poor communication, which is exacerbated with remote working, but it's the same. I've spoken to some companies and some people, COOs and heads of people, where everyone was really excited in the first week, and then you lose the engagement, people are tired, and as you described, that, you know, that Zoom fatigue. And I think people haven't had the opportunity to think it through, so that's fair enough. But now we're getting to the situation where companies can start looking at it. And I think for me, a lot of it comes down to, I mean, you'll probably agree with me here, but it's poor planning. Whichever way you look at it, it's poor planning, off-the-cuff communication, everything's an immediate need, everything is rushed. Now, that's a problem, whatever type of company you are. And so I think that's the stem of this particular problem, but it also is the stem of so many other issues that we see. So I think most companies can comfort themselves in going, the problems I saw before are the same problems I see now, but whether they've got the time and the desire to actually look at that and sort of deal with it, that's a question mark, because there's so much going on with this current situation. It's like, what do you do first? And I think that is also a challenge that companies have. And I mean, I suppose the main thing is they now can't see their people, so they can't see where the problems are. They're kind of going in blind, because again, they don't have the systems and the processes and the mechanisms to make it as easy as walking into a room and seeing lots of sad people. And so all these challenges, on top of everything else, that the anxiety and everything else that people are going through, does. It's just exploded into a kind of one big, okay, how do we pull this apart?
I know that you've got project management background because we were chatting about it off the air, and so do I. So I share the same sentiment when it comes to kind of one of the issues here, that a lot of it is poor planning. You're absolutely right. A lot of companies have been thrown into at the deep end basically overnight. It takes a few weeks, a couple of months. Normally, transitioning to remote working would be a drawn out process to make sure everything is moved and adapted and all the boxes are ticked basically in terms of processes and tools as well. I've been talking to a lot of organizations where they ask me, so what tools should we use? My answer is, what are you using at the moment? Because I'm pretty certain what you've got now will be sufficient. It's not the tools, it's how you use them. It's the process, it's the culture behind it. And another aspect is managers worrying, how will they know whether their people are doing their, you know, what they're meant to be doing, their job? And I'm going, well, if you're asking that question, you probably got a slightly bigger issue than that, because, you know, how do you do it in the office? Do you constantly stand over and watch over their shoulders to see what they're doing, or do you trust them that they will deliver on what you agree? But that's probably a whole different episode in itself. which we can do another time. You mentioned poor planning, and I think this is sort of because one of the questions I was going to ask you is, what is the number one sin companies commit when it comes to remote working or moving to remote working? Would you still say that's planning? Considering what, but let's put a current slant on it. What would you say was kind of the biggest obstacles or the mistakes that companies made? Obviously, they couldn't have planned it because it was dropped on them. What would you say they could have done better in certain areas, or the kind of the one or two key areas?
So one of the main things I focus on is, rather than looking at people in general and workload in general and teams in general, you look at the individual people. And this applies however big your company is. And I think that's the thing, is this situation has meant that every single house has now become its own entity with its own challenges. So whether you have the equipment, you may or may not have, you may have kids that you're homeschooling, you may have a dog that you need to feed. You know, all of this stuff that goes into your own workspace is very individual to you. And so one of the things I always talk about is the fact that you're all developers. You don't kind of stereotype people. You actually look at individuals and what their scenarios are. And I think that's the most important thing, is actually at a team level, every person should be spoken to. Right, this is my situation, this is the challenge I have, and this is how it needs to work. And I think that's the thing. And again, it doesn't matter whether you're doing remote or whatever else, it's that listening and kind of identifying what is going on with the people. And it doesn't take long. I mean, probably, you know, half an hour to an hour. If you know people, you sit and think, right, what is your situation? How can we help you? How can we remove the obstacles? And I think that's the thing that is lacking. And I think, you know, it's lacking often in lots of other places. But rather than trying to make these kind of broad strokes of, okay, all my people are like this, let's do it this way, it's no. Each team manager sits down with their team member, says, right, what's your challenge? And caters for that as far as possible. And I think that's a really simple thing to do. And it allows you to kind of understand people and gather empathy. Because one of the things I notice, and I do it myself, I've been working for years, and because you don't see someone, and because they're not doing the one thing that you've asked them to do in the space of time you've asked them to do it, you just go, they're not working. They've just, you know, they're just sitting on their sofa, they're just watching TV. And it kind of is a shot through your brain, and then you go, oh, hang on a second, you know, their priorities aren't mine. But everybody suffers from that kind of immediate, that I can't see them, therefore they must be doing nothing. And that is the biggest thing with remote, is that kind of almost reactive thought is what goes through everyone's head. And so then that gets exacerbated if you're not then understanding that you've got someone at home, two kids. I mean, I know a few, not quite single mothers, but people that have to look after their kids pretty much most of the time. Their other half's a key worker, all of those kind of things. And it's like understanding their challenge and then going, okay, how can we solve this? How can we make allowances? And you can only do that on an individual basis. It may not be scalable, in the short term, but that's exactly what I think a lot of companies haven't really done. They've just kind of gone in broad brush, this is how we're doing it, and possibly not gathered feedback in a way that allows them to then look at how they can make adjustments for the different people that they have.
Okay. I think it is partially symptomatic of the situation that we found ourselves, that we didn't have the time to plan it. But you're right, we did go down the route of, you know, cookie cutter approach in a lot of cases, and broad strokes trying to implement things. But to really make it work, we have to look at more individual basis. And this actually applies individuals within organizations. That's one element. But even what works for one organization will not work for another. For some, over communication is needed, but that's reflective of the culture and the trust and the people that they've got. In another company, it's everybody's very autonomous. They used to work in individually and so on, so it might be a lot easier. But you're right, the empathy aspect of it is crucial, where we have to kind of figure out what's going on. And it's in a similar way for some companies, everybody working from 9 to 5, whether they're in the office or remote, might work. Others, because of the setup of their families and the houses, they might have to do asynchronous. Absolutely. All day from 8 to 8, kind of popping in and out. Trying to leave our listeners with make them have a bit of a takeaway after this. I'd like to summarize with, I'd like you to summarize if possible, kind of any tips or advice that you could offer to companies who are obviously either have recently moved or thinking of moving to remote working, and any type of tools or resources anywhere that you could point them to, what they can read and learn a bit more.
I've got a few takeaways, and I think most of them are relatively simple. Maybe not easy, but simple. So the first thing is really look at a team level, the situation that your teams are in, and understand their needs and their capacity, and then come up with a shared agreement on how you are going to communicate. So maybe you have core hours, or you have a session every day where everyone catches up. And I think that's really important, is that intentional socialization. And I think that's the one thing we miss, is we kind of, you know, it feels painful, oh, I have to force it. But actually just having a slot in the day where the team comes together and just chats, doesn't matter about what. And so I think that's really key, and just sort of finding the time. Doesn't have to be mandatory necessarily, because obviously things will happen, but people can come together and just go, hi, have a coffee and chat. So I think it's really key, going back to the planning conversation, you may not have been able to plan at the start, but you can start looking at where you need to have touch points in the calendar, and make sure that if someone can't make it or it doesn't suit their particular life, they've made a compromise. And so then they say, okay, because so-and-so's in another country, I have to move it to a bit earlier. And they know where they're making the accommodations. I think understanding people's own situation, where they're working, and potentially their own routine helps. And if you're an individual on the other side, is build routines into your day. So you may not have your commute anymore. Maybe you kind of, I don't know, walk around your lounge a couple of times. But just set certain routines in to kind of set yourself up and maybe kind of decompress from a day, or at least kind of a couple of hours work here and there. The other thing I think is really key, and it goes back to your kind of workload conversation about how do you monitor what people are doing. When you're remote specifically, you can focus a lot better. And so you probably don't need the same amount of time as you would have done in an office where people are distracting you. And as a people manager, I think it's really key to understand that people don't actually have to be sitting at the desk on a Zoom call, 8 to 8, whatever their working hours are, and really understand that it's deliverable mechanisms that you're looking for, and output, not how many hours they sit in front of a screen on video. And I've heard of that, of where people are like, right, we're on video, I can see everyone, I can monitor everyone. That's just horrible for everyone involved. So those are kind of very key things, and planning in those sessions. So there's communication touch points over a week. They're not last minute. They're all planned in. You know when you're coming together. You know when you can work autonomously. And it allows people to then set their schedule around those particular elements. Certainly when you've got kids and everything else, they can accommodate that a lot more easily because you've put a plan together. I think tools like you describe, a lot of it is, it's not really the tool that you use, It's how you use it. And most of the tools, I think, are, you know, you've got Zoom, you've got Teams, you've got Slack. All of those work really well. I think a lot of them, it's expectation. It's like, don't expect immediate responses. Is that asynchronous working? I use Twist in Brilliant and Human. We use that together because we're very much asynchronous working. When we're online, we promise that we will look at it daily. We just expect it goes in and we don't expect an immediate response. I think that's really key when you're doing remotely. If you don't have commitments and you kind of expect immediate response, it does stress out your team very heavily. So I think that's the thing, is getting used to asynchronous working is a really important thing. And just the final one is understanding how you are motivated. Going back to the conversation we talked about, working from home versus remote working. If you're in an office environment, you have the rhythm of the office, the start, the coffee hour, the lunch break and all of those things. And a lot of those elements being watched gives you that external motivation to do work. That's something that you may struggle with when you're working from home. And so you don't have those kind of, oh, someone's watching me, I should be working. And so I think that's really key, is just to look at how you get motivated yourself. And if you're a team manager, how your team is motivated. If it means that they just want to call with you three times a day just to kind of give you a status update to motivate them to work. These are kind of little things that you can do. Other than that, as I say, I just think be empathetic and just kind of think of others. We're in this position of, we're all in the same boat, so we can kind of understand a little bit of what people are going through. But in the end, I'm going to quote my favourite one, is like, everyone's got a battle that we know nothing about. So be kind always.
That is brilliant. Thank you. I'm sure we'll get a lot of value from the short list that you've just given us, and it will be definitely useful. What I will do is I'll try and dig up some resources, and if you've got any, if you could send them to me, that would be brilliant, and I'll include them in the show notes so people can refer to any type of frameworks, because I can think of a couple of blueprints and frameworks that people could use, especially when it comes around to kind of a sort of a team charter, if you will, because I think that goes a long way. Yeah. When it comes to remote working, having that agreement between team members and the managers and so on, of what we subscribe. Absolutely. To basically that covers values and things like that, but I'll drop that in the show notes below. Right, I think we've got a lot of information here, definitely kind of fitting our format of shorts on the spot advice. One thing I would like to close off with is, where can people find you, Ghislaine, in case they have any questions or they say want to thank you for the awesome advice that you've given them? How and where is best to kind of locate you and reach out to you?
So web address is www.brilliantandhuman.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm the only one, if you put my name into Google, Ghislaine Chan, I'm the only one that comes up. So that's quite handy if you can spell my name. And that's it, I think. I think those two places would probably be the best. I'm not really a social media junkie, so I'm not on Twitter or anything like that.
Fantastic. Well, Ghislaine, it's been a joy. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks very much for having me. It's been great.
One more thing before you take off. Next Step Group offers premium level support across a diverse range of remote work issues, 24 hours a day and in multiple languages, with experts in HR, legal, operations, tech, leadership, and more. It's open to leaders looking for guidance, consultants, and remote workers wanting to share their experience. You can join by visiting www.nextstep.group. This podcast is produced and hosted by Lech Guzowski from Human PM. Special thanks to the founders of the Next Step Group, Christina Barger, Ghislaine Chan, Stefan Dorn, and Matteo Grassi.